And we want to get into this and then get into the prayer and have some discussion, some conversation, just some different things. And so, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord God, in your presence, Lord God, Father, we just, as we open up the scriptures and we study SWAT together, just the high points and be able to discuss some of these tactics, Lord God, that we can implore against our enemy and understand as well, Lord God, these things that are trying to be implied against us. And as the scriptures have said, that we are to understand the tricks of the devil, and you have given us every opportunity and ability to understand it, and not just understand and foresee it, but overcome it before it even comes. And Lord, that is what we are here for. And we thank you, Lord God, for this life team. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone that is able to be here, for those that are not able to be here. Lord, I am recording this, and that way they can be at least on track for any time missed. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're gonna kind of just dive into this real quick. Because I don't have a clock, and I was a Pentecostal pastor for a decade, so clocks mean nothing to me. So I need somebody to track. Okay. 30 minutes. Yeah, if you grew up Baptist, that's probably too long of a sermon for you. If you grew up Pentecostal, you know that's really short. If I have extra SWAT manual, I have an older one here. Yeah, we've got a couple of them somewhere. Yeah, I don't. Okay. So I know we watched videos 1 and 2 off the training. And I listened to videos 1 and 2 in the normal training. There's some others that were more current I listened to as well. I didn't necessarily go off of the video where I'm gonna kinda go over real quick. But I'm gonna go off of the manual. And so what we're gonna do is every time we meet, we want to cover at least 2 sessions. And so we're going to be taking turns. A couple of the things as well that we want to interact is, for those of you that are here, we want to be able to, let's say next week, because really the next time we meet is going to be more detailed into the intricacies of the SWAT. Today's going to be more of the introduction. But let's say if Jenny's teaching, as an example, let's say Jenny's going to teach lesson 3 and 4. What I would like is for 2 different people to get somebody go, okay, I'll take lesson 3 and let me put an example together of what I think that looks like of that whole, of whatever strategy. I'm just saying we'll use the strategy part. And you create your own scenario of how that would look and how that would play out. Somebody in lesson 4, do the same thing. And it just be a very quick 3-minute description of what you think. Because part of this too has to be, it's not just that we're disseminating information, but that we're all grabbing a hold of what the tactic is. That we have to understand what the enemy is going to try to implore against us. And so that we can in turn know, one, what his plans are or his attempts to be. So we can in turn learn how to implore that against him as a life team. Yeah, Mike.
What you're really saying is you're supposed to make a case study.
What do you mean by that?
Case study is you make a scenario of some incident or some thing that might happen or has happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Using one strategy, just go, okay, this is what this would look like as an example. Because one, let's say, for instance, you do number 3. You're going to do a case study for number 3. So that way we can hear and go, that's exactly what that means. Or so we can make sure we all understand, you know, what those strategies look like. And if it doesn't come out just right, so we can give some insight to what that does and how it's supposed to look like.
I think presenting the case study, we can come up with different strategies.
Well, that's why we wanted to focus on just that strategy that's been implied and talked about in that, yeah, just in that lesson. Yeah. But once we get to that, we'll have somebody go, okay, so we predetermined who's going to do that, you know, ahead of time. But I think that would be a really good way just to be able to get everyone involved, everyone thinking, and everyone moving towards the right direction. One of the things that that Curry brought up in one of the videos, and I just kind of wanted to throw this out here, is he talks about you have to decide why you're here. You know, going into SWAT, going into it and everything else, you go, okay, why are you here? Why are you a part of, not just, oh, why am I part of a life team? Or, but why are you here? What were you born? What's your purpose? And if it can't be that answer of, well, Jesus loves me.
No.
You know, that's a great answer to come into the kingdom. Yeah. But why are you here? Because if you're here for anything, if I remember my sister-in-law, when her father was ill, she came to my parents and said, you know, she was crying, wanted God to heal her dad, and said she'd do anything, she'd serve God, and all this stuff. And she came to God in that way. But at that time, understand, I was a kid when all this happened. We didn't know how to bring about healing. We believed in healing in the sense of just general, as any other Pentecostal, when you crossed your fingers and hoped it happened. You know, and that was about it. But I also remember when he died and what that did to her, because that's why she came. And once that was off the table, what am I doing here? You know, and so you have to get it set in your mind. You know, as far as what are you here for? Why are you here? And because if you're here because God loves you and you know that he shed his blood for you, my recommendation, and I'm saying this because I'm also recording this too, so, but anyone that's in that mindset, go find a good church. I mean that. Go find a good church to go participate. Go find a house church that gathers together, sings songs, loves people, ministers to people, feeds the homeless, prays for people at times and all that stuff. Because if you're going to get into what we're about to start diving into, you're going to get pushback and you're going to get shaken. See, because if you're not here because Jesus is Lord, there's no other route. And it's just to destroy the works of the devil and every in as you go about doing life, you're gonna get stuck with just the results and what you see with your eyes. And if you can't get past what you see with your eyes, you will never you're gonna have a hard time. Because then all the devil has to do is just keep it not changing in front of your eyes as best as he can, and push back. And that. Because you're gonna have things pushed back, especially as you're growing and going. If you haven't perfected this yet, you're gonna have things, odd things happen. You're gonna have sicknesses. You're gonna have odd circumstances happen to you. It's going to be turmoil. It's going to be the tornado, you know, in between the chariot of fire, you know, and the prophet, you know, that's going to try to distract you. It's going to be a variety of things. And so you have to be ready to just have some understanding. Okay, well, this is where I'm at. This is why I'm here. One of the things is that I liked what Curry put is, what's your purpose? Now, you don't have to say it, but what's your purpose? What were you, okay, if you were brought into the kingdom, all those things, but why are you here? What's your purpose? What's your part? What part are you going to play in that purpose? Because as this gets heavier, as this gets more strategic, as this gets more operational, what's your purpose and what's your part? And again, if all we do is just sit there and go, well, Jesus loves me to share his love with a, listen, that's wonderful. And that's true. And that's great. You know, that Jesus's love is wonderful and it's great, but it is his love that has purpose. What did he send his love for? Just to say that we're loved? No, but to live in a lifestyle and in a way that we can abide in his love, and through that love can overcome.
What is the mission?
Well, I'm not being around the bush. I'm getting to my point.
Okay.
And so, and I am, Mike. I am. There's 18 lessons here. Okay. And so, but your purpose and your part have to coincide and be linked. They have to be able to do that. If you're here right now and you're a Christian, then we're moving forward. We're just going to fully expect that the anticipation is Jesus is Lord. And what we're diving into at this point, you know, as far as just the, we'll get into a little bit of what's been happening over the last few weeks, different concepts, different insights, different conversations. But the four principles of SWOT, for those of you that have your manual, page 5. One, the war is won, but there are still battles to fight. And again, that goes back to the pushback. You're going to have pushback no matter what. You're going to have some pushback at times. Understand though that the war is won. So you're not fighting from a position of to gain victory. You are standing from a position of victory. And you're moving in and pressing in from that point in. You're putting pressure on the enemy from that posture. That's what that looks like. You have an enemy that must be confronted and defeated. He's not going to wait for you to get ready. Matter of fact, I will tell you, the time that he's going to strike is when you're learning. That's the time he's going. Because you're the easiest to attack. So this is where we grab in and we come together. And this is why how we talk and what we say is crucial. That we cannot allow what our emotions sway us into one point to move us in a direction that scripture has not given us permission to be. We go where the scriptures are saying, and we are at where the scriptures are saying we are at, and that's it. So the enemy must be confronted and defeated. See, a lot of the times, I know from personal experience, and I know just from other situations, it's not just enough to confront the enemy and say, oh, I know you're there. I know you're there. Oh, Satan, that's it. I'm going to come and I'm going to get you. Okay, he knows he's there too. So confronting him is not the issue. Can you beat the bully when you confront the bully? You know, I've asked our DHT class on Tuesdays. I said, you know, does prayer give honor to God? No, answered prayer does. The answer to what it is that brings about the relief of the oppression in people brings glory to God. So confrontation is not the key. That is a part of it. But the confrontation part to defeat the enemy is crucial. Because whatever you don't defeat can come back. Number 3, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Not through your emotions, not through your intellect, not through what you think is your own strategy. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. It is not to have faith in your faith. It is to not have faith in you. It is to have faith in God. Why can the sick be healed? Because they are healed by his stripes. Why can the world be saved? Because the shedding of his blood. So the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. No matter what. No matter how confident you may feel, how gifted you may be, none of that brings about the conquering method of victory over the enemy. It is only God. It is through God that we achieve this. Outside of that, we can do nothing apart from him. Number four, the principles of warfare are being used by you or they're being used against you. You decide. See, it's not just going, oh, I've heard SWAT five times. If you haven't made it a part and begin to strategize and place it into your lifestyle like you do the DHT, you're gonna get stumbled. You're not gonna see it. You have to begin to go through SWAT and look at it in the sense of this is part of my everyday life because I am always at war. So whether you're at the store, driving, this is why it is so crucial and so important that as you go about, you know, you're doing the acknowledging what is in you. You're reading your Bible. You're praying in tongues. We're the ecclesia time of prayer. We're connecting with one another. You know, there's times that you're going to be praying in tongues. While you're doing that, fasting, all those different things and all those different elements that come. Either you're imploring them against the enemy or they're being implored against you. A simple way to know is, well, are you typically winning or are you typically getting beat up? I mean, that's the whole point. That's the picture of it. And so if you're winning, then you'll know you're winning. If you're getting beat up, you'll know you're getting beat up. And so if you're getting beat up, that's why we're here. That's what this is. This is the gym. This is to learn. This is what, even when we do our Ecclesia time of prayer, we're going to be recording it because we're going to be able to transcribe it. Why? Because there might be a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, a word of wisdom. There might be gifts of the Spirit that are operating in that time while we're praying over one another, laying hands on one another. You might want to hear, I don't remember what Jenny said. I don't remember what Pakua said. I don't remember what Jamie said. And all of a sudden, it's just like we can record it. That's not going to be passed out social media. That's to the life team here. Why? Because we want to record and have established to go, hold on. As Paul told Timothy, war with the word of prophecy that was given unto you. So either we're using it against him or using it against us. And we have to learn how to use every tactic against him. It is our right. So session one with SWAT, page 7. I'm just going to, there's a couple of stuff I underlined. I'm just going to go through. How much time do I got, Jenny? Okay. Okay, I'm just going to read a couple bullet points for me. Mine's on page 7. Session 1, what is SWAT? The fullness of training, and I'm just going to read these real quick because some of them are just, you've already heard them in the videos and everything. And so, it says the fullness of training will be realized over a period of time. That's very, very important because you're going to take this and start implementing it into your life. So you're going to go through this and you're going to start realizing the truths of it in time. Some of it you're going to pick up now because some of it circumstances you're going through. Others you're not going to see necessarily. Some of it you're going to go, okay, yeah, that happened, but that didn't happen. And then as we get later on, you're going to go, oh, that happened because he was doing this and that's why that happened. And you're going to go, okay, I get it. The initial training, when a SWAT trainee continues to refine, polish, and develop their skills learned by practice. This is something we will have to practice. Does that mean we practice when we come together twice a month? No. This is something we practice individually. And then when we come together, it's stronger. When we learn how to do it individually, when we come together, it's just stronger. It's more focused. It's not a, you know, when we're meeting together. Understanding of the underlying warfare that is occurring around us at all times, that the spiritual realm and our position and duty in that war. All things spiritual are not necessarily godly. These are just key points I'm just pointing out here. All things that are spiritual are not necessarily godly. You know, I know a lot of people that are more charismatic and have a lot of spiritual experiences. That don't mean it's God. It could mean pizza. It could be flesh. It could be, sometimes people lean in and operate from their point of confidence. And so they think that has to do with the spirit. No, it's just that's where your point of faith is able to be expressed, but you're minimizing yourself because that's your only way. And so just because something feels spiritual doesn't mean it's godly. It could be something that we may need to grow you out from and understand, because if you're stuck, this is a bad analogy, but hear what I'm saying. If there's 10 outlets and you're only used to using two, well, the two might work for you, but what happens when you got to use the other eight? So we need to expand everyone's understanding of what that looks like and expand everyone's, someone told me recently, they said, every time I feel the presence of God when I'm ministering to someone, they said, they feel the presence of God and their knees get weak. And they said, does that happen to you? I said, well, I mean, maybe once or twice. And I said, that's about it. He goes, well, it always happens to me. And he said, why do you think that is? But I already knew where this person's background was from. I said, well, that's simple, because that's what you have believed for about 15 years. So you've trained yourself that when you feel this, God's there. So then it gives you the confidence to operate from what it is you can operate from. And that's all that it is. I said, but you got to be able to move past that. Move past your comfort zone, stretch yourself, because SWAT's going to stretch you. A warrior is a person that has proven their ability to continue against all obstacles. A warrior is a person that has proven their mettle, so to speak. A warrior is a person that continues to stand when all others have fled. A warrior is a person that has made the decision to fight for others. And a warrior is a person that has made the decision to be a person of arms. And I like, Mike always brings it up, the ethos that him and his wife always do. And, the warrior ethos is absolutely applicable. As far as, let me get over here to page, let's get to the scripture. Page 9. I'm kind of jamming through here a little bit. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What is the purpose of the fivefold ministry? bring people into perfection.
Yeah.
I heard somebody else say something.
Build up the church.
Build up the body. Verse 15. That we may grow up into him in all things. So if there's an area of your life that does not look like him, the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring those areas up to par to look just like him. That's the purpose. All right. Session 2. That way we can kind of go in these scriptures, spend a little bit of time here before we go on. Session 2, 4 principles of SWAT. The war is won, but there are still battles to fight. Again, repeating the same thing. You have an enemy that must be confronted and defeated. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, and the principles of warfare are being used by you, or they're used against you. I'm just going to read Isaiah 14. All of us are pretty familiar with it. I'm just going to go through it real quick, where the prophet is speaking. God is speaking through the prophet. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit down upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be drawn down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly come, look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners." So Jesus recruits for the war against Satan, and who does he recruit? Luke 10, the 70 returned, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So that means it's finished. According to John, at the very end, Jesus gives up the ghost. It's a finished work. So what is your fight now? At this point, your fight is to take the spoils that has been given to you and we hand it to Jesus. We bring it to subjection under his feet. All of everything that has been done has been completed. There's nothing more that he needs to do that we need help in him to complete and finish. It's been done. It's over. And if that's, it is over in every way other than arresting the violator, because the violator is still trying to run around and lie and say, "No, I'm free." The escape convict is trying to say he's a free person, and he's not. He's just a convict. Colossians 2:13-15, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way." What did he do? He took it out of the way. "Nailing it to," and I love this, he didn't say nailing it to your cross. "Nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled." Sometimes what they would do, and if you read history, they would put the king, and they would defeat a king, they'd put him on a donkey, they'd put him, you know, and they'd put him in a mockery position.
I thought they'd chop his
Well, they did that too. There was a lot of different. The point was just to humiliate him, but the point wasn't to humiliate him to the king. The point was to humiliate him to the people. That was the point. To bring intimidation. We find that we find that whole that principle in I want to say it's 2 Kings with Hezekiah.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah is king, and the surrounding armies come, and the sergeants, you know, sitting there mocking him, telling him, you know what's coming. Oh, you know, all your people, your king's been telling you everything is fine. Everything is great. You're all delivered. You're God's people. Nothing's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, you're going to be eating dung. You're going to be all this stuff. And the armies are coming for you. We're going to trample you. We're going to...
Your God is nothing.
Exactly.
All the other nations' gods couldn't defeat your God.
And notice what Hezekiah said to his people on the wall beforehand. Shut up. You don't have to get into that fight. Quiet. And he told them beforehand. Zip it. Don't speak. And what happened in the story? By the time that general got back home, his nation was destroyed. It's turmoil. It was a rebellion. And God went, so what were you guys going to argue with him about?
Isn't that what's happening now?
You know, and this is, and so he spoiled them. Okay, then I got to do it quick. And he has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly.
5 more minutes.
Try, you know, I need to have a 5 minute warning. We did that for Curry. We were like, 5 minutes. Yeah. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The enemy will try to use this tactic against you, and understand that God said, all of the enemies, all of the armies of the enemies have been defeated. They understand what I've done to them. That they're not questioning what he did. They're questioning, do you believe what he did? That's the question. Matthew 28. If you believe it by the authority of the mission, then you'll go and fulfill that obligation of the commandment and see it through. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. Why? How could he do that? Why did he say that? So surely to just go into all the nations, go do all of this, you can do it. Why? Because he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. No question. He tells the disciples in Matthew 10, which read Matthew 10 slowly and see how many times he says, are you worthy? Are you worthy? What he tells the 12, go, lost sheep of Israel, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Because it cost you a lot to get all of this, and I know it costed you a lot, so don't give it out so freely. No, it's not what he said. It didn't cost you anything. It cost me everything. So I gave it to you for free, so go give it out for free. So... one of the things that I would recommend, you may already do this. If you don't do this, then I would definitely recommend you do this. Always have a notepad near you when by your bed. Always have a notepad near you by your bed. I've had dreams, visions, words, woke up in tongues, got the interpretation later, you know, and from going from sleep to tongues, to interpretation, to, I'll give you one that this happened when I was 12. I was 12 years old, 13. I just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I had a dream that I was at my parents' house, and you've been there. I don't know if you remember it, but, you know, okay. So my parents' bedroom's facing the street. because it's an L turn. And so my parents' bed is facing the street, and then it's just a, it's a, it's a, it's a mobile home. So it's a long mobile home. And so their bedroom faces the street, and then living room, kitchen, and then our bedrooms were off to the end. Well, when I was 12 in my dream, I was in my parents' bedroom and I was looking out through my parents' window, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And all of a sudden, I seen these cloud, dark clouds beginning to form. And when these dark clouds began to form, I seen a funnel cloud form. And I've never seen a funnel. I'm 13 years old in California.
Right.
When have I ever seen a funnel cloud formed in California? You know, and so, but I knew it was a funnel cloud, you know, and it was interesting. It was right after I'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe a couple weeks. Now, when I lived a very, at that time, I knew God had called me to different things, and so, and he had spoken some things to me at a young age already. So I was a much more dedicated 12 and 13 year old at that time than the typical 12 and 13 year old church kid in the choir. And so I see this happen, and I see the funnel cloud form, and I see it, and I see the tornado, and I see the end of that tornado hit MacArthur. And begin, and it made a beeline straight for the house. And I'm watching it in my parents' room. And it just, and it came super fast. And I just remember I turned around and I took off running through the trailer, the house. And I'm running through, and I get to the very back, which was my bedroom. And I get to the back, and there's a little window on the side, and then there's a bigger window here. And so I went to the room, and all I remember is there was a woman and there was two little boys in my dream. And I pulled myself over them and I said, "It's coming." And I'm screaming, "It's coming, it's coming. Pray, God will save us, pray." And I'm screaming this, and we're praying, and I could hear the prayer, but louder than the prayer, I could hear the house being ripped to shreds, room by room, all the way until like it stopped right at that door of my bedroom. And, you know, I was there, and I just remember I had a woman and two kids, and I was like this. And I could hear myself praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, all I could hear was myself praying in tongues. I didn't hear wind. I didn't hear noise. I didn't hear ripping. Nothing. And I looked up and I looked out the side of the window, and the sun was out and the sky was clear. And I said, "Get up. It's gone." And that was it. I told that dream when I'd pastored for years. Me and my wife were at the point of divorce in 2010. I forget all about this dream. Just showing you how, this is why writing it down. I was 13 years old and I wrote this down, and I remember it so vividly. And I shared this dream with a young man that was my assistant pastor. And we would talk about different things. We'd go on long trips, and I'd shared with him my life and my dreams and different things. And I remember praying about that dream for so many years. And then I just forgot about it. We're at the point of divorce, me and my wife, and this young man is sitting on the couch looking at me and Diana. And he says, "You can't divorce." And he's crying. He's 30, you know. He says, "You're mom and dad." And we weren't his mom and dad, but he said, you're mom and dad. That's who we were. He lived with us. He said, "You can't." And I said, I don't want to. I don't know what else to do. And so Leanna walks up, cries. She just runs upstairs crying. This is 2010, late 2010. And he looks at me and he goes, "Don't you remember the dream?" And his name is Stephen. And I said, "What are you talking about, Stephen?" He said, "Remember when we would go, you were going to preach and minister, and you would take me on your trips. And we would talk about dreams, and you shared this dream with me so many times. I heard you preach on and tell this story. How did you know when you were 13 years old that you were in, that you were going to be in a moment that you were going to be sheltering a woman and two boys when you were 13 years old? Man. See, that's when it, at the point of our marriage, I had no strength to fight. That dream, through the mouth of that young man, reminded me of what God said. And that is when I set my focus and I said, okay, I know now. And that brought everything into place. Now that still, it still took 6 months, 8 months of convincing my wife of that, you know, at that time. But I remember. And when you have these moments and God gives you a strategy, write it down. Write it down. War with that prophecy. Because that became the prophecy that I warred with over the next 2 years, not just in reestablishing my marriage, but I also understood, God, if you gave me my marriage back, you didn't give it to me to just be something that was there. You gave it to me for a purpose to be restored and redeemed and whole and to be fruitful in what it needed to be. And so as a dream strategy, understand that God may give you a dream. Don't be intimidated to share that. Write it down. Be brave with it. War with that as an example. And so I played sports when I was young, right? I know it might surprise you, but yes, it did. I played football. I played basketball. And you know. And so. And, but if you hear professional athletes talk, they don't talk like a regular person.
No.
You know, go talk to them. If they're in the basketball series, Golden State won, right? So if you were watching the interviews of, you know, the interviews of the players, and when they're down, and they, you know, and they're losing, and they're about to lose the series, and everything they've worked for as a career is on the line right now, and they're about to lose it. And you go ask them, how does it feel to be at the brink? You get so far, and you're about to lose one more game, and you know, and if you lose, this is over. Do you think you don't? Those athletes don't just sit there and go, you know, you're right, man. I don't even know. Oh my gosh, I don't. You know. I don't know. I don't even know what to do, dude. I try to guard him. I don't know what to do. I don't, you know. And they're like, man, that team is so much, you know, better than you. I know. I know. Right? They don't talk like that.
No, they're into that.
And they will get angry,
irritated
if you come at them trying to insinuate that their season's about to end, that they're going to lose. They could be down, you know, if you understand basketball series, you know, they could be down 3-1. It don't matter. It don't matter. We've got the potential. We've got three more games. Like, we could still win the next three and still win the championship. Because you here, and here's the thing, as an athlete, you have to have, to be a professional athlete, I'm not one, so I don't know, but I can only take it off of what they say. You have to have a odd confidence that when everyone looks at you and goes, that can't be done, watch me.
Yeah, I know. That's good.
That won't happen, watch me. You've got 1.3 seconds left. You can't get that shot off, watch me. Just give me the ball. You have to have this supreme confidence.
No, even,
yeah,
and they don't, and they haven't yet.
Yes.
There was an athlete that they got. He got so bombarded in the media a couple of weeks ago. because he had played two games straight without resting. He takes the last shot. Either he wins it or he loses it. And everyone was like, why'd you take that shot? Why'd you take a three-pointer? You could have took a two and tied it. But instead you took a three. And, you know, and you lost it, but you could have won. And he said, he goes, why did you take that shot? You could have tied it. You think I, you, he goes, that's the problem. You actually thought I would have missed it. I never thought that I'd miss it. So then they asked his coach, and he said, no, I stand behind my player. We'll win and lose with our best player. And you know what? He made the best decision. Whatever happened, happened. And see, when you there's this supreme confidence. And I love that